really imagining the death of capitalism and the horribleness, the dystopia that you're kind of left with. Like, what are the remnants? Horrible, poisonous things.
I believe they can be reclaimed because I believe in the power of nature, right? Like, even if it's really polluted, at some point the corals will start to grow. It will be rehabilitated. Yeah, so this is end of civilization.
Yeah, not in our time frame, but right? Not in our timeline. No, that's so interesting. So I guess jumping off from that, maybe two more questions. One about, like, you're thinking about Bukom, and I really love what you're saying about the island. Like, you know, is it a corporatized space? What happens? Like, it's not in the end. I've been thinking about coastal changes, like, you know, and also in the context of your book, right? Because you're talking to architects, you're thinking about unbuilt buildings, but then you're building them in the stories as well. So what do you think is that relationship between the words that you're writing in stories and the kind of, you know, buildings you're imagining, or even the coastlines you're imagining, and the actual material? Have you thought about that? Like, the materials that we're using, like sand, like, you know, cement, like glass, like workers' labor.
So sand is interesting because when I was writing, there was whole this whole sand shortage going on in Singapore, and Joshua Kamaroff, who is also interviewed in the book, he wrote this whole essay about sand and how it's precious and our relationship with sand and Indonesia. So in a way that comes up because sand is the key to our survival as a city. So if we didn't have any more sand, then Singapore can't really function anymore. That's one aspect of it. But the other aspect is my anxiety as someone who has never actually like made anything with my hands. Like, my entire career was just writing and arranging words. And I look at architects where your entire career can be mapped out in this house, you know, that building. And even like a carpenter, your entire career is that you made this cupboard. And even if you're 90 years old, you have made this cupboard so many times. You're a master craftsman and you can still make this cupboard perfectly. We don't have that assurance as writers. So by the time I'm 90, I might have Alzheimer's and I wouldn't even be able to string a sentence together. So practice doesn't really make perfect in our case, right? Yeah, so it was really depressing. And to me, I felt like materiality was the key out of this anxiety. So like, if you could kind of make something, and at least that would stand as a testament to what you have done. So probably a little bit not the same as what you're asking, but I do think about materials now, but I do a lot of like crochet. And this just working with yarn calms me a lot. I've gotten past the envying the architects, right? Because like, okay, yeah, I work with concrete, work with tile, you know. But I'll just do my domestic thing and I'll work with yarn. And it's really, really calming. And then you make a scarf and you're like, okay, at least it's something. Yeah. So there's this whole tension between like producing something that is intangible and producing something that's tangible.
But you produce the book. The book is a physical object.
I know. Okay. Yeah, that's what people say, right? Like, you've made a book, right?
You made a book! I mean, come on.
I want to argue that if no one reads the book, it's still not a thing. The book only becomes a thing when someone reads it, right? Whereas, like, a scarf is a thing. Its thingness is indisputable. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Of course, then you can counter-argue and say, oh, but a scarf is not a scarf until someone wears it. Mm-hmm. A house is not a house until someone lives in it. And I'm like, yeah, but, you know, a house is a pretty big thing. You can't ignore it, right?
Yeah. Depends. Maybe with some Pulau Bukom, you could.
Yeah. True that.
Maybe one last question. Mm. So then, I guess, a more broader philosophical question. I mean, now that you've written it, and I know writing the book, you were thinking about space in Singapore. What do you think is the role of the fictional text then? Because, I mean, the fact that you chose to build the buildings that they hadn't built, right, means also architects in some case are also... they're authors, right? They're fictions, right? They write fictions. I mean, like, so what do you think is the role of that, of the literary text, your literary text, but also, like, many other people writing at the same time right now, thinking about space here?
In the course of writing the book, I realized that architects are actually very good writers. So they actually don't need me around. They write fantastically and they do write fiction. And there's this whole, like, subset called architectural fiction where architects themselves write, like, sci-fi and all that. So I think that architecture and fiction has always gone hand in hand. Even when you go to architecture school, there are these modules to tell you how to write so that you can convey your vision of what you're about to build. So space has always been contingent on the words. It's like the let there be light, right? And then there's the world. So let there be words, and then there's the building. The role of the text in the city then is, as I say in the preface, it's a set of alternative blueprints. So we have the physical landscape, but these are only the buildings that made it into concrete, right? There were all these other rejected buildings. Like, for example, Golden Mile Complex. Like, it was really supposed to be entire mile, and it like continue on and on, right? But because, for whatever reason, it was never built. But imagine if it had been, right? And then this city would look different. So I just thought that if we could kind of do our own alternative blueprints, then that would be a form of resistance to official landscapes, official narratives. And even though they don't get built, we don't have to feel like whatever we think about or whatever we imagine is not valid. It's still collected somewhere. It still will survive in some form or other.